This year marks the 50th anniversary of the Coleman Report, a landmark study led by then Johns Hopkins University sociologist James Coleman that found an enormous achievement gap on test scores between black and white children. The report was the basis for the busing programs of the 1970s used to achieve racial balance in schools. Still, Baltimore's school system, like many urban systems around the country, remains highly segregated. The vast majority of students, about 85%, are African American, and that same proportion is poor enough to qualify for free or reduced price meals. Now WYPR's Jonna McCone has a look at the legacy of the Coleman Report and finds that one Baltimore school appears to bear out what the report found, that not only schools, but neighborhoods, healthcare, and families contribute to the academic success of children.
The 700-plus page report on educational inequality was required by the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The Coleman Report was researched in an age when former President Lyndon Johnson's administration was pushing to eliminate poverty and racial injustice through broad social services.
So we must give every child a place to sit and a teacher to learn from.
The expectation was that the study would find that school resources were unequal, as Johnson outlined in his Great Society speech that year.
Poverty must not be a bar to learning, and learning must offer an escape from poverty.
But what the report found, based on data from more than 600,000 first, third, sixth, ninth, and 12th graders, was that there were unequal schools by some measures. But what really explained the differences in academic achievement was family background and neighborhoods.
It provided a disturbing portrait, I think, of inequality, and it really took a hard look on what was underneath these differences.
That's sociologist Catherine Eden. She studies poverty and presented as part of a symposium on the Coleman Report held at Johns Hopkins this fall.
It was an incredibly honest document. It pointed to the primacy of family background that remains true today. And it also showed how important the multiple contexts in which kids were embedded matter. So family structure, neighborhood, school, all sort of working together to shape the life chances of children.
More recent studies echo Coleman's findings, from stereotypes to expenditures on school facilities to the effects of parent involvement in schools. The poorest school districts, those with the most minorities, remain behind the national average. In fact, the rich-poor achievement gap has grown even wider in the past few decades. It's a point of frustration for Ted Davis, a political scientist at the University of Delaware.
We are 60 years beyond Brown, 50 years beyond the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and all of these reports, the Monahan reports, the Coleman reports, and we're still dealing with this issue in terms of disparities in educational outcomes, in particular in terms of academic achievement.
In East Baltimore, there's a school that shines as an exception.
Also today, we will be starting Spanish Club. We have four.
My name's Matt Hornbeck. I'm the principal at Hampstead Hill Academy.
Hampstead Hill is an elementary and middle school of around 800 students. It's just south of Patterson Park and is a conversion charter. Everyone who lives in the school zone has an automatic seat.
And it's the same zone it's been for decades. If we have any extra spaces, they go to families who live outside of the zone by lottery. We are very full. We have a 200-student waiting list.
That's because students outperform city averages on tests across the board, and the school is one of the most diverse in the city. It's 40% Hispanic, 40% white, and 20% African American. There's a vibrant atmosphere and plenty of opportunities for enrichment.
All right, do we all have our number 64 written with our slip on the floor in front of us with our finger on the title to start reading this story?
Jacqueline Cleary teaches first grade here. She taught previously at Furman Templeton Elementary in West Baltimore. With a 98% poverty rate and an equal percentage of African American students, the school looks like the neighborhood.
There is the notion that those students can't achieve very much, so the teachers going in don't really make the effort to really raise the bar very high. So as a result, you know, they continue to fall farther and farther behind, and the achievement gap grows.
She says the diversity here at Hampstead Hill fosters higher expectations for the students. And indeed, diversity helps all students. Carl Alexander, a retired Hopkins professor, is trying to start a public school in the city that would be majority middle class.
It's not that being middle class just rubs off on other kids, but middle class families can bring to bear resources that poor families can't. as advocates for their children. And as the school environment strengthens, other positive things happen. The enrollment's more stable, the teaching staff is more stable. You can elevate the academic programming to a more challenging level. So there are all these derivative benefits that typically follow from having a strong middle class presence in a school.
Cindy Pappas, who lives in Canton, is one of those middle class parents. She has two sons at Hampstead Hill, a fourth grader and a first grader.
We were at a place where we could have taken a private school path, but each year there's absolutely no reason for us to leave. This is where we live and we work, and I love this school.
She says prestigious private schools north of the city offer buses, trying to make it easier for young downtown families. But she wants her kids to have more diverse experiences than they would at a private school. And she says the quality of education at Hampstead Hill is comparable. Catherine Eden, the sociologist, says poor families often don't have the kinds of choices Pappas has.
The vast majority of their moves are forced or reactive, and so the window of time in which they have to research neighborhood and school choices is perilously slim.
And this means poor families are often simply avoiding the negative rather than seeking out the positive. So if we know that the most successful schools are the ones with economic and racial diversity, what can be done? Eden says if the city can keep middle-class families who might otherwise move or send their kids to independent or parochial schools, there could be some major gains for all kids.
So there's a virtuous circle, right? You get the middle-class parents starting with kindergarten, sending their kids to the local school. You begin to attract better teachers. Parents with resources bring resources. You change the norms of parental engagement. Parents begin demanding more. Kids build friendships and understanding across race and class lines.
She says that should be the model going forward. And Hampstead Hill Academy shows that having just 15 to 20% of families firmly in the middle class can foster a really successful school. Though even here, there are some disparities in achievement along race and class lines. Though the tools and questions are more refined, the concerns outlined in the Coleman Report reverberate today, and it's a reminder that continuing to seek strategies to create stable and safe schools in diverse communities not only reflects the country's social fabric, it's essential for equal opportunity. I'm Jonna McCone, reporting for 88.1 WYPR.